Let me kindly ask you then, if you would, to turn with me to the book of Ephesians, the 6th chapter. Ephesians, the 6th chapter. And we're going to complete the sermon that we began last Sunday morning on preparing for battle. Ephesians, the 6th chapter. There are many Christians who are shocked when they come to learn that the Christian life is not lived on the playground, but rather on the battleground. And that battle is a battle that exists between ourselves and our enemy, the devil. Now, as we think about this battle, there are three things that you need to keep in mind. And by way of introducing this and getting us to where we need to be in the lesson to complete it, let me say three things by way of introduction. These are three things that we have to keep in mind about this battle. Number one, let me say that this battle is personal. Personal. Every single Christian is in an individual battle against the devil and his demons. Please understand, I cannot fight your battle against the devil for you. You cannot fight my battle against the devil for me. This is a personal battle. James puts it like this. In James chapter 1 and verse 14, James says that every person is enticed when he is drawn away from his own evil desires. That's personal. In Philippians chapter 2 and in verse 12, Paul says to work out your own salvation with fear and with trembling. So the first thing that we have to keep in mind about the battle between ourselves and the devil is that this battle is personal. He wants you. The second thing you and I must keep in mind about this battle is that not only is it personal, but brethren, this battle is permanent. It's permanent. This thing you are in against the devil, this isn't just some little skirmish and then it's over with. This isn't some 10 or 12 round fight and when the last bell rings we shake hands and everybody makes good with each other. Listen to me, this is a lifelong war that we are in. A lifelong war. Now, there are going to come times when you're going to say, what I want to do here is I want to give up. There are going to come times when you're going to say, listen, I want to quit this. There are times in this battle when you're going to say, I don't want any more of this. Brethren, understand, all of us have been there. And all of us have been there repeatedly. As long as we breathe, we will struggle. But the reason that the book of Hebrews was written, the reason that the book of Revelation was written, is to tell us, don't give up in this battle. The reason that these books were penned is so that you and I would not allow the devil to defeat us. This battle that we are in against the devil and his army, this is a personal deal with you and him. This is a permanent deal with you and him as long as we live. But thirdly, not only is it personal, not only is it permanent, but my God is powerful. Power. And my powerful God says that I can win this battle. My powerful God says that regardless of how well the enemy and his army may be mounted against you, brethren, this is something that you can win, and this is something that I can win if we're willing to do two things. First of all, we must know who the enemy is that we are fighting. Now, that was last week's lesson, so you take last week's lesson and you insert that right there. In order to win this battle, God says you have to know the enemy you are fighting. My enemy is not people who disagree with me. My enemy is not those who don't like me. My enemy is the devil. It is the devil that I am to be fighting. And as I fight him, I must understand that he has schemes and strategies and wiles and tricks that he places upon me. I must realize that I'm not just battling him alone. I have to live, are you listening? I have to live with an awareness that he has an army of evil spirit beings. I have to live every day in this battle against him by having an awareness that he has an army of little spirit demons, and that he sends these demons forth in order to craft circumstances in my life in order to seduce me away from God. If you're going to win, you better know who you're fighting. And you better understand what they're bringing to the battle. Now, if we're going to win this battle, God says there is a second thing that we have to know. We have to know that God is equipping us with armor that we may fight in this battle. God says if you are going to win, and you can, you got to know who you're fighting, but then you have got to be willing to equip yourself with the armor that God is going to provide for you. This armor, and only this armor from God, is what gives to me the ability to both attack and defend myself from my enemy, the devil. Now, every eye, please, turn to the book of Ephesians, the 6th chapter, and I want you to first focus on a little phrase in verse 11. Put on the whole armor of God. Now, give pause and look at me for a moment. Put on the whole armor of God. I want you to notice the first two words. Put on. Do you see those words in your Bible, yes or no? Put on. I want you to understand what those two words mean. Those two words demand my active participation in this battle. Put on. There is nobody on this earth who can put on my armor except me. Those two words mean that I have something that I have to do in this battle. What you have to do and what I have to do is we have to put this on, because unless you put yours on, it's not going to be there. Look at the statement, verse 11. Put on the whole armor of God. Victory in this battle can only come if you and I put on the whole armor. What does that mean? That means that there is not one piece of this equipment that's optional. That's what that means. If you or I leave any part of ourselves exposed to the devil will take that exposed part and the devil will gobble you and I down. Put on. That's you. That's me. The whole armor. And then notice, it's from God. This isn't something you and I have concocted. This is from God. Everybody with me? Everybody's okay. Now I want you to take a breath and I want you to refocus, because I'm going to share something with you that's going to probably be a little different than you've heard from this passage. So we okay? Now, look at Ephesians 6, and I want us now to turn our focus to the armor itself. Now, listen to me right here very carefully. If you read this passage carefully, this armor involves two things. First of all, There is a part of this armor, listen to me, there is a part of this armor that I am to have. And so we're going to read over and over the word having. H-A-V-I-N-G. Paul will say, having, having, having. This part of the armor that I have, this is a part of the armor that you and I are to put on, and we are to never take it off. Do you understand? I have this. I put this on, and I never take it off. The second thing involved in this armor, stay with me, and then we're going to the armor. The second thing involved in this armor is that I am to take some of it. So now, over and over, we're going to read that word, take, T-A-K-E, take up, take, take. So there are some of this armor that I am to have. There are other parts of the armor I am to take. Brethren, listen to me. Having something and taking something is different. Is different. Now, the part of the armor that I am to take up is the part that I am to take when I'm actually engaging myself in this battle. Are you with me? Now, let's turn ourselves first to the part of the part of the armor that we have. Look now at verse 14 and verse 15. Stand, therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. Now, this is the part of the armor that you and I are to put on, and we are to never take it off. Now, look at it. First is truth. Truth. We are to be a people of integrity. We are to be a people of honesty. In Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 25, two chapters earlier, the Apostle Paul said, put away all lying from yourselves and speak the truth one to another. We are to put on honesty, and we are to never take it off. We are people of integrity, period. Look what he says next. Having righteousness. Righteousness here is being right with God. Now listen to these two verses carefully. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 6, we are to hunger and thirst for righteousness. Listen to the Bible. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 29, we are to practice righteousness. I am to be a person who hungers and thirsts and a person who practices being right with God. What does that mean? What he's talking about here, brethren, is holiness. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 16, "Be ye holy therefore, as I am holy, saith the Lord." We are to be people of purity. Amen. We are to take honesty, we are to put honesty on and never take it off. We are to take purity, we are to put on purity, and we are never to take it off. Look what he says next. We are to have the gospel of peace. Now follow me. The gospel is a message that results in peace. The gospel brings me peace with God. Romans 5 and verse 1. The gospel brings me peace with my brethren in Christ. Romans 14 and in verse 19. It is the gospel, listen to me, it is the gospel that connects me to God. It is the gospel that connects me to you. It is the gospel that connects all of us to each other. It is the gospel, and the gospel is the reason why we love each other the way we do. It is the reason that we encourage each other the way we do. And it is the gospel that unites all of us with Jesus. Now let's put this together. As I prepare myself to do battle and war with the devil and his demons, as I prepare myself for this hand-to-hand combat, and as the demons come forth crafting temptations to seduce me from away from God, there are some things that I am to have. There are some things that I am to put on, and I am to never take them off. I am to take honesty, I'm to put it on, and don't ever take it off. I am to take integrity, put it on, and never take it off. I am to take purity, put it on, and never take it off. I am to take unity and love. I am to put it on and never take it off. Because if I put on these things and never take them off, brethren, these are the things that give me the upper hand against the devil. Honesty gives me the upper hand against the devil. I can't run around here lying to everybody and expect to have the upper hand with the devil. Purity, holy living gives me the upper hand against the devil. I can't walk around here with the morals of an alley cat and expect to hand up the upper hand of the devil. Amen. I am to be united with you. I am to be at peace with you in the gospel. I can't run around here causing division and sowing discord and being divisive and think that I can have the upper hand with the devil. If I'm doing these things, I don't have the upper hand against the devil. He has the upper hand against me. So you put these on. You have them. Put them on and never take them off. Now quickly, the second part of this armor is the part that we are to take up. In other words, when the devil engages me in this war, here are the things that I take up to fight with. Look at verse 16 very carefully. In all circumstances, take up the shield of the faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. Let me tell you something about me that you don't know about me and not you. The devil is always throwing something at me. You know anything about that? I bet you do. The devil is always throwing darts at me. The devil is always throwing little demons at me. The devil is throwing them little imps, demon seeds at me. The devil is throwing all this at me. When the devil throws all of this at me, what am I supposed to do? I'm supposed to take up my faith. Listen to what Jesus said about it. In John 14 and in verse 1, let not your heart be troubled, believe in God. Now, when the devil is shooting at me, I'm troubled by that. When the devil is after me, I am troubled by that. What am I supposed to do when I am troubled? I am supposed to believe in God. Jesus said in Mark chapter 11 and in verse 22, have faith in God. So as I engage the devil, I take up my faith and prepare myself to fight the devil believing in my God. Look at the first part of verse 17. And take the helmet of salvation. Now listen carefully. When I battle the devil, when you battle the devil, we have to remember we are saved ones. Salvation. Listen to me. I am not gonna give in to the devil. I'm a saved one. I am not going to lay down and let him roll over me. I am a saved one. I'm not going to quit and say, well, this was hard. I am a saved one. And what I'm going to do is I am going to take up my faith as a saved one and I am going to fight the devil. Look at the last part of verse 17. Look at the last part of it. And the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Let me ask you a question. How did Jesus beat the devil? You know how Jesus beat the devil? It is written. It is written. It is written. Matthew chapter 4 and verse 4, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every utterance that proceeds from the mouth of God. That's the literal translation of Matthew 4:4. Listen, as a person of faith who is saved and who wants to stay saved, I am going to take the Word of God and I am going to stomp on the devil with both feet. Now, I want us to go all the way back here. Ephesians 6, go back with me to verse 10.
Verse 10.
Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. There is inside of me as a faithful Christian. And if you are a faithful Christian, there is inside of you a strength, a power. And that strength, that power that is within you and I as faithful Christians is a strength and a power that we have because of our relationship with Jesus Christ. Jesus' strength is in me. Jesus' power is in me. Now, what did Jesus do? What did He do? In 1 Timothy, 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 8, He came to destroy the works of the devil. What did Jesus do? Acts 10 and verse 38, Jesus went about doing good and healing all manner of those possessed by demons. What did Jesus do? Jesus put on the armor of God and fought the devil. Jesus put on the armor of God and destroyed the works of the devil. And now that strength is in me. And as a Christian, I put on this armor, and in the strength of Jesus, I stand to fight the devil. The problem that many of us have is we're totally ignorant of the enemy. Totally ignorant of the enemy. Our culture, the devil's nothing but a joke. Let me tell you something. The devil is never a joke in that book right there. He's the enemy. And you better get acquainted with the enemy and how he works. And how he works is he dispatches his army to send temptation your way to seduce you. That's how temptation works. But God said, in the strength of Jesus Christ, I will equip you with the army that will allow you to win this battle. So this morning, we stand not in our own strength. We stand in the strength of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we equip ourselves with the whole armor of God. Notice one more thing as we close, and it is in verse number 13. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil days. Now watch it. And having done all, to stand firm. Having done all, Does that sound like the Lord wants mediocre from you? Does that sound like if you half do this, it'll be okay? We arm ourselves. We give our all. And in the strength of Jesus, we gain victory. This morning, if you're not a Christian, you are not a part of the army of the Lord. You need to become part of the army of the Lord. You need to be baptized for the remission of your sin. If you're here this morning, and if you are a part of the army of the Lord, and you've been AWOL from the army, you need to re-enlist. You need to re-enlist. Because you're not going to like the eternal brink you end up with if you don't. Know the enemy. Arm yourself. And in the strength of Jesus, we get the victory. If you're here, you need to respond. May God help you to do that right now as together we stand and as we sing.